two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles
from Jerusalem.
They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. He said to them, 'How foolish you are! How slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken! Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?' And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning themselves. And as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he was going farther. But they urged him strongly, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?' They got up and returned at once," just remembering the day is nearly over, "they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. And there they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, 'It is true, the Lord has risen and appeared to Simon.' Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. And I believe that what Jesus is trying to reveal to us tonight is that God accepts us for who we are, and God meets us where we're at. And he does that in order to help show us that Jesus wants us to know that God is real. Jesus is with us because he wants us to know that God is real. And you may have had a time when you knew that God was real in your life. We pray that tonight would be one of those times. And so I just want you to get this picture in your head if you can, of Jesus walking up to you, and he's just so pleased to see you. He's got this great big smile, and he comes up and gives you a big handshake, or a big hug, or even a high five. Or maybe he's kneeling down beside you, with his arm around you, or on your shoulder, or he's holding your hand, or he's even sitting down to cry with you. Because Jesus shares in our both our good times and our bad. He shares all his victories, and he shares in all our hurt, pain, and suffering. So no matter what you've come from or where you are tonight, that Jesus is with us here tonight and we are going to worship him. And so just let Jesus meet you where you're at. Let him just accept you as you are and let him lead you in the worship. Because it's not about us, it's about him. Let us pray. Fellow traveler, you meet us as we walk the roads of life and reveal to us mighty things. You call us to change our lives and to trust and depend on you entirely. You teach us the greatest and deepest of mysteries. You reveal the truth of your promised grace. So open our ears to hear your words tonight and open our hearts that they might burn with your truth, that in response to all of this, our mutual love will grow and burst forth among all people here on this place. Amen. Man, I'm going to stop or I just keep talking. So, Shell, it's yours.
Thank you.
Okay, so it gives me great pleasure to introduce to you Bunty Bunce. And some of you may know her. Because of years ago. She doesn't like it when I'm smart to her. She really doesn't like it. So anyway, here's Bunty, and she's come a long way to share with us, and she's very talented and gifted, and God uses her mightily. So I'm just filling up the air space here. So Bunty, just bring it.
Child to the Lord at a children's camp. And the next day she came up to me when we were swimming. She came from the beach to me and said, "Thank you for telling me about Jesus last night." And I said, "Oh, that's okay." And she ran away. And I said to myself, never take for granted the new birth, the miracle of the new birth. Here I was, having got to know Jesus 20 years earlier, and here's this little girl just tasting him. And I suddenly realized it is a miracle. Now, the same Spirit that was there in Jesus' day and at the creation of the world and before the world is the same Holy Spirit that hovers over you and me today. The Spirit of God hovered over the world. Let there be light, and there was. The Spirit of God hovered. And then when Jesus came along, he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." The Spirit of God hovered on Jesus. Even at his birth, the Spirit of God was hovering. And then he received the presence and power of God. The Bible says, let's turn to that. It says, "The Spirit of the living God is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to do." When the Spirit of God came on Jesus, it caused him to act. And when the Spirit of the Lord came upon the world, creation came. God said that he created, and it was. An action took place. And the Spirit of God is desiring to come upon you and me, even today, to cause an action to take place in your life. To cause you not so much to react, but to respond to the move of God in your being. And to rise and be what God has called you to be. It says here in John chapter 7, verse 37, whoops, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spake concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." It said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. The Lord says to you and me today, be thirsty. Ask him to make you thirsty for the Holy Spirit. And then he said, if you thirst, you've got to come. Don't be thirsty for the things of God and stay where you are. Cause yourself to want to draw near to him. If you are thirsty, come. Now, normally in a family, if you're thirsty, if you're a child, you'll go to your parents and say, "Do you have a drink of water? You know, can I have a drink?" And they'll give you a drink. Children know where to go when they're thirsty. They go ask. They don't usually stay at home in their room, I'm very thirsty, oh, it's time for bed. Get up in the morning, I'm very thirsty. They don't do that. Because you know, and I know, if you don't drink, you die. And the Lord likens his Holy Spirit to water, living water. Do you remember that story of the woman at the well? She went to get some water. And then Jesus said, if you knew who I was, you wouldn't ask for this water. You would ask for living water that springs up in you to eternal life. So she says, "Oh, well, are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well, this well?" And of course, he said, "Yeah." He was, before Abraham was, he was alive, he's there. He gives us living water, springing up into eternal life. Ask him to make you thirsty. To for the things of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the life giver. He comes to give you life. Life more abundantly. More abundantly. I heard the story of this guy in an earthquake. 9 days under the rubble. They found him. Do you know what his first words were? It was not telephone, telephone. Money, money. It was water, water. And I smiled at that. Because 9 days under the rubble in Korea, they took the rocks off. His whole being was crying out for water. Suddenly reality hit him. My money, my telephone, my car, my family. Everything that he built his life on took second place. But water took first place. And I remember one time I was doing javelin. I was an athlete. I ran to the running club, went into the changing room and was very tired. I collapsed on the floor. Everyone had gone out to run. And I heard in the changing room the drip, drip, drip of the tap on the sink. I said to myself, if I could get to that tap, have a drink, I'll be okay. So I crawled through the changing rooms, climbed up under the sink, went over the sink, lapped some water, energy came in, I went out and continued doing my sport. Money was no good. Family was no good. Anybody around me was no good. But water gave me life. And the Bible says he wants you to drink from the wells that never run dry. Years ago, I remember ministering in some churches, and there was a terrific move of God. And later, somebody said to me, Bunty, why did God move in those churches? And I looked back and I started to think. I said, because everyone was thirsty. Everyone was thirsty. And you have to say to yourself, how do I thirst for the things of God when I don't really know much about Him? The Spirit of God within you, when you ask Jesus into your life, He came in, He is thirsty to be released through you. And a good prayer to pray today is, Lord, make me thirsty. Not a natural thirst, it's a supernatural thirst. Everybody say, Lord, make me thirsty.
Lord, make me thirsty.
And again,
Lord, make me thirsty.
Because what happens is a spiritual realm comes into your life, your heart gets opened up, and suddenly there gets this hunger for the things of God. And today I want to talk about His presence and power that awaits your thirst. And something about God, you know, He has no favorites. Did you know that? I'm no better than you, and you're no better than me. The Prime Minister is no better than the street cleaner that's cleaning the street. Because we were all made in His image, and He likes what He made. Everybody say, God likes me.
God.
He likes what He made.
He likes what He made.
I'm precious in His eyes.
Precious in His eyes.
Have you ever stood in front of the mirror and looked in your own eyes and said, God loves you? You should try it sometime. You open your eyes, you look straight into the mirror at your own eyes. You see what you see in there. You may not like what you see. But if you've got the guts and courage to look into your own eyes and say, God loves me, you know a blessing awaits you inside. But if you run away from the mirror, you know there's a problem. And the reason why I tell you this, I did this once. My friend told me to do it. And I could not look in that mirror. I was like, I didn't want to know who I was. But friends, if you can look into your own eyes in the mirror and then look back and just say, Jesus loves me, you're wonderful in His eyes. He thinks you're precious. A healing will go so deep into your spirit that you'll know nobody's better than you, and you're not better than anyone else. But you're very precious in His eyes. So today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. I'm going to turn to the book of Acts,
talk about how why the Lord wants to do so much for us today. Acts chapter 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom. And being assembled together with them, the disciples, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, "You have heard from me. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" And he said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the hour which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now while he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in like manner as you saw him go." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey. And when they had entered that, they went up into the upper room where they were staying. Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, Alphaeus, of son of Alphaeus, Simon, Judas. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. The Lord speaks to them. He tells them, "You're going to receive power from on high. You're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And you're going to receive. But just wait, you have to wait." And they all went back. He then went off into heaven. They went back, the women, the men, everybody. And they all went to a place wondering what was this that Jesus had promised. Now this is a mystery time for them. They didn't know the mystery that the power of God was going to come from on high upon them. They didn't know what it meant. But they were excited, they were hungry, they were thirsty. And in Acts chapter 2, it says, "Now when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven." This is from above. "And as the sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then appeared to them divided tongues as a fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Supernatural, supernatural. Something. They were there in a room, say just like this. Not knowing what they were waiting for, not knowing what it meant for a visitation from heaven, but the disciples were obedient. They thought they listened to what Jesus said. Jesus must know what he's talking about. And they waited. Then there was a sound. Everyone say, "Lord, open my ears that I may hear. Open my ears that I may hear." You know something? We never know how God's going to get our attention. Did you know that? He could get your attention by the still small voice. He could whisper. So they heard the sound. And then it was like a wind. And then they saw tongues of fire on people's heads. Everyone say, "Lord, open my eyes that I may see.
Open my eyes that I may see."
So now their ears were open. Their eyes were open. It's like, oh, I don't know what's going on. Can you imagine it? Oh, what's happening? Nobody wrote about this in the book. Nobody told me God was going to do this. Oh, but as they were there, and then something happened inside them. It said they spoke in new languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. Everyone say, "Lord, I give you my voice. Speak through me as you desire.
Speak through me as you desire."
when you come before the Lord, in your quiet time, in a corporate setting, ask Him to open your ears, that you may hear what the Spirit is saying. Open your eyes, that you may see what He wants you to see. Open your heart, that you may speak or sing or pray what He would like you to speak, sing or pray. And then if new languages come forth, Maliambara Soku Yamba, let your tongue say what you've never said. And before you know it, what happened then on the day of Pentecost will be like happening in your life. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's gone up into the heavens and He told His disciples, you need power. You've got to, because you're going to be witnessing for me. You're going to have to tell somebody about me. I'll give you my power. And then for some reason, He put His Spirit within them. They began to speak with different languages. And what the miracle was, as they went around speaking these different languages, people from different nations at Pentecost said, why are they talking about the wonderful works of God? How did they learn their language? And before you knew it, the whole crowd knew that Jesus had risen from the dead, that God was alive and well. Peter begins to preach and 3,000 people said, I want what you've got. I want what you've got. Some people said they were drunk. They didn't all want to get drunk. Not like that. Peter said, we're not drunk, but we are filled with the Holy Spirit. And the funny thing is, when you get filled with the Holy Spirit, yes, He gives you power. The Bible talks about boldness. Suddenly you've got a boldness that you've never had. And you open your mouth and you tell others about Jesus. And suddenly you are doing what you've never done. But you know, when you are filled with the Spirit, a lot more takes place. Because the Holy Spirit is the nature and heart of God. And He says, I want your joy. He wants to give you His joy. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 15. May the God of hope fill you with all joy. Everybody say, I want to be filled with joy. You know, I travel the world and I meet many religions out there. I come across many, many groups. I don't see many with a smile. I don't see many faiths out there that have what we call the joy of the Lord. It says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And we all need strength to live by. And when I go to these nations, I can tell who love Jesus and who don't. I can meet them in the street. And you walk past, and within seconds, you know there is something similar. We've got the same DNA, as my friend usually calls it. We've got the same Spirit of God is with us. But all those other faiths I bang into, they're all an island. They meet people, but they don't trust each other, and they're not too sure about what's going on. But the Spirit of God, and the family of God, we have the same DNA with them. And He says He wants to fill you with His joy. So may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Isn't that wonderful? You could be the most joyful person living in peace. Wouldn't it be great if the neighbors knocked on your door and said, hey, what's going on in there? There's so much joy. And you open up the door and the peace of God floods onto them. Isn't that wonderful? Why not? Hey, I heard a story. I've got to tell you these stories. I heard two stories recently of something that's going on in the world. Can't remember what place. But there are people stopping people in the streets saying, can you tell me, where can I find God? Where is He? I want to find God. Where is He? Because the conviction of the Holy Spirit is hitting everyone on the streets, and they're all up running to each other to see if they can find someone to tell them where God is, happening in two towns at this particular moment. Two places out there in the world, the Spirit is falling afresh, and that the ordinary person is begging people somewhere to help them to find God. Now, how does that sound? Does that sound exciting? Doesn't that remind you of the Welsh revival? Doesn't it remind you of the old time when the hearts of men were seeking him, wondering where he was, and they were looking? Can you tell me where God is? Do you know where God is? Can I find him? Wouldn't it be funny if when all you guys go home tonight, and a few of us pray a prayer, and say, Lord, from this day on, let people go and find you, ask you where God is. And all these people come, excuse me, can you tell me where, oh no, they've been praying. You'll all be out there. The thing is, God knows where you are, and he knows where I am. And the thing is, as you disperse and walk your streets and your neighborhood, the Spirit of God, which we're going to pray for you for tonight, the Spirit of God who is resting on you, living within you, desiring to flow out of you, that brings life to those around you, will cause a stir in your neighborhood. And your people nearby will want to know what you've got, and they'll want it. They want what you've got. And you're going to have to say, I'm not sure what I've got, but I can pray for you, and you can have what I've got. I led this child to the Lord. This child came to me and said, I want what you've got. So I just said, Lord, you know, give him what I've got. Lord, just release him, free him, heal him, help him. You are carriers of God's water. You receive the Holy Spirit, you're carriers. I preached in a church recently, and I closed my eyes, and I saw everybody in a river. And as they came out of the river, they were carrying buckets. And they were carrying buckets on the land. And I said, God, what are the people doing? He said, tell them they can take my river wherever they want. I went, wow. And his river represents life. And his river represents the Holy Spirit. And his river represents healing. And faith and joy and peace and love. Tell them they can take my river wherever they want. Are you a carrier of his joy? Or are you grumpy? If I knocked on your door, oh, what are you doing in here? Are you one of those? That's not a carrier of his joy, is it? If God picked you up as a bucket and wanted to deposit you in different places, like in the factory, in the shop, what would come out of your life? Would you be clogged and all the water spill out? There'd be joy, encouragement, healing, the word of God, prayer, love. Or if you're clogged, what comes out? Have you heard about Mrs. Jones the other day? Did you know what happened there? You're never going to believe what I read. I heard this. What comes out? The Bible says what goes in comes out. If you put in gossip, out comes gossip. If you put in encouragement, out comes encouragement. If you put in the love of God, out comes the love of God. And the test is what comes out of your mouth. What is your mouth like? Are your words lovely? Do they build up or do they pull down? Do you pull the rug out from people's feet? Or do you just lay a nice new carpet for them? Do you serve the table or do you throw the food off the table? What comes out? Because you are God's vessel. Filled with his presence and power. And the world wants to meet you. They want to know you. Because you represent eternal life. Jesus said to the disciples, are you going to go away from me? And they said, well, how can we? You have the word of eternal life. Believe it or not, every person in here, we carry the word of eternal life. You may not believe that, but I'm afraid it's true. And as you walk down your streets and you go into your shops, you do have the answer for every person you stand with. You have the word of eternal life, the key to eternal life. And those people you meet in the shop, they want what you've got. Because the disciples were not ready to carry the heart of God out. Until the Holy Spirit came upon them. They weren't ready to be his witnesses. Peter had denied the Lord, remember? I don't know him. I don't know Jesus. I don't know him. The Holy Spirit came upon him. Now he's preaching. gives you courage to be what God wants you to be. And the Spirit of God puts a love in there that lets you love those you didn't love. And the Spirit of God will put a forgiveness in there that gets you to forgive those who you've never been able to forgive. The Spirit of God puts a helping hand in there that gives you the courage to say, can I help you, to someone you never would have stretched your hand out to. And suddenly Jesus begins to live through your life. You begin to be like Jesus. Because it's the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will dwell in you. And it says, and if that Spirit dwells in you, he will quicken your mortal body. The Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that's the Spirit of God. And it says the Spirit of God's going to dwell in you, it's going to quicken your flesh. Do you remember after Pentecost, Peter and John went to pray. They met a lame man there. Do you know that song? Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Do you remember that? No, sorry, right. Before my time. Before your time. Oh, whatever. Sorry. Okay. The first miracle, Pentecost came, the Spirit of God came, Jesus has gone to heaven. They're going to church, in inverted commas, they're going to worship. This lame man is there wanting money. Peter looks into the eyes of the man and says to him, look at me. Silver and gold I haven't got. In other words, I know you want me to give you something so you can have something to eat, but if I do that, you're going to want some more next day. The silver and gold I haven't got. Don't have a temporary faith. Don't give your friends a temporary solution to their problem. Are you with me? Because it will be a problem later. Silver and gold I haven't got, but what I had, I'm going to give you. And he had something that was eternal. He had something that interrupted the natural. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, now we've got some faith coming. Peter's opening his mouth now, he's a bit bold now. Name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Oh my dear, this is, oh, what's going on now? Peter grabs his arm, pulls him up, and what happened? Jesus said, I like this. Woo, I like somebody believing in me. Hey, let's go for it. And the Spirit of God went, whoo! The man jumped up, and it says he went walking and leaping and praising God. Now, you can't praise him with a noise. You know, I used to be in a church where it was very quiet, and somebody said, Amen, I think, out loud. And I nearly shouted at the man and told him to be quiet. Because I grew up and didn't breathe in church. This man went walking and leaping, and it was called that he was praising God. So something happened to this man's emotions, and he began to get happy. So, in case you start walking and leaping and praising, many of you will say, the door's there. Out you go. But listen, when God comes on the picture, on the scene, if he puts a joy in there, then suddenly in your brain you say, man, that was good. You can just say, Lord, thank you for giving me a joy. And then you might let yourself smile. You might smile. And then you might giggle. Oh dear. You know, that verse I gave you just now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. I prayed that every day for 3 weeks once. Because I wanted the God of hope to fill me with all joy, peace in believing, that I abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. 3 weeks, every day I got up and I said, Lord, I ask you to fill me with your joy and peace and faith. And the power of the Holy Spirit. At the end of 3 weeks, I was on the street and I met a friend. We were talking. From down here, up came this giggle. I went, oh yeah, I'm having a good day. She said, what's the matter, Bunty? I went, there's nothing. Nothing wrong, nothing. This thing bubbled up. It bubbled, and I was so embarrassed. joy. A miracle, something happened in my spirit, the top came off, and I bubbled his joy, and I giggled. And I giggled, and I giggled, and I giggled. I didn't know what to do about it. It was really weird. It was strange. So listen, if you do ask God for certain things, especially not if you're asking for joy, he might give it to you. Shh, be careful. Because if he gives it to you, he's the one that decides when to stop it. You know, you aren't going to believe this. You aren't going to believe this. I was praying, I was in this church one day, and I asked the Lord to behave himself. I did. I was going to this church, and I said, Lord, look, this isn't the group that you've got to do this kind of thing to, so would you please behave yourself? So I said to him, I said, Lord, what do you want to do today? He said, I want to move gently like a duck. I went, oh, the peace of God, oh. So I preach on peace. I preach on peace. And then I said to the people, don't come forward. I'll just come and pray the peace of God on your life. If you don't want prayer, just say, not for me. And I'll just come between the pews. While I was on the second row, the presence of God, it was a lovely peace. At the back of the meeting, two teenagers were laughing. And I'm at the front, and the presence is holy. And I looked, and I was getting a bit annoyed, you know, why these boys were smiling. So anyway, a leader went back, and now we have three people laughing. So now I'm thinking something very bad is happening. Well, these two boys slipped off the floor and rolled to that side, at the back of the meeting. They took a roly-poly. And as I am looking, something in my mind went, oh, my dear. I put my head down. I said, Lord, I'm at the front of the meeting. That's nothing to do with me, but, oh, Lord, I'm going to get in trouble. The meeting finished, and afterwards I went to those boys. I said, is God good? They said, good, he is awesome. And what had happened was, the Spirit of God had come upon them. Out of their belly came this joy. It was so joyful that they started to wriggle around with it on the floor. And they were wriggling and wriggling and wriggling, and they just ended up rolling, whatever. Maybe, is that what they call holy rollers? Is there some story, you know, like that maybe came, I don't know what it was, but I was a bit embarrassed at the front. But all I know is, these two boys started to have an awesome relationship with the Lord. And it was from above. So I want to ask yourself, when did you last laugh? When did you last let the joy of the Lord be your strength? In his presence is fullness of joy. The Lord says, that my joy may be full in you. Every God and every faith out there, I don't hear that joy thing. But when I hear Jesus' language, I'm saying, Lord, what is it? Do we need to be shining? Do we need to be radiant? Do we need to be walking around with the joy of the Lord? Do we need to have a word in season? You see, when the Spirit of God comes upon you, he gives you his gifts. And the fruit of his Spirit is love, joy, peace. He gives you his nature. But when the Spirit of God comes upon you again, he says he gives you his gifts, which can be faith. He gives you gifts of healing, where you might be like Jesus, where you go pray for someone. He wants to give you these gifts of words of knowledge. He may want to tell you something about somebody who is desperately in need, and suddenly out comes these thoughts and you start sharing. He wants to give you faith to believe. He wants to do miracles for you. He wants you to be him in this earth. He wants you to be in his river and go where the river needs to go. He wants you to take his river there. People who are dying, people who are thirsty, people who are hungry. The world is killing them. The world is knocking them out, stopping them from enjoying life, living life. Jesus said, I've come to give you life, and life more abundantly. He would never lie. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. the truth. You haven't asked Jesus into your life. The life you've got is not the life he wants you to have. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. His own work. And he wants you to have abundant life. And the Spirit of God gives life. And the Spirit of God gives joy. And the Spirit of God gives power. And they want you to be a preacher. He may want you to study the word and share it with those who do not know it. He may even want to cause you to go and to overseas and do mission work. Go on to a remote village somewhere and sit there and share the light of Christ with those who don't know. I went to one country, I went to a remote village. Amazing. I flew in to a grass airstrip. I'm taken by canoe to this remote place. I get to this football pitch. There's 50 ladies sitting on a football pitch, and I've been asked to be the preacher. And I'm in the jungle. So I'm sitting on this bench, and I said to myself, I'm in the jungle, nothing must go on here. I'll just open my Bible and put a finger on a verse. How awful is that? So I did. Suddenly, this woman came and sat beside me. She said, we are so hungry for God, we want everything. What has he told you to give us today? I went, oh, okay. Oh, Lord, Lord, help me, these people know you, they're hungry, God. So I quickly became very spiritual fast, and I quickly asked God for his heart for that group. So I went in, and I started to preach to them in the middle of the jungle, and I said, when did you last tell others about me? When did you tell people down at the canoes that I love them? When did you tell people in the hospital that I love them and in the schools? As we began to share, I said, all those who have a burden for the hospital go over there. All those who burden for the canoe ministry go over there. And I separated them. I said, I now want you to pray for those places. Well, they went off into a death wail. They began to wail for 20 minutes. Screaming. And I'm sitting there looking, thinking, well, I thought this was a prayer meeting. I asked them to pray, but they're wailing. So then I go to one of the leaders, my interpreter, and I said, look, what are they wailing about? Can you go in there and see if you can hear their cries? And this is what they were crying. Lord, forgive us for everyone who has left this village without us telling about Jesus. And they were wailing the death wail for people they had never said goodbye to. It was a spiritual wail. And I've never, ever, ever been in there like that before. And then the next day, 350 people came to this outreach. And they all we washed their feet. We had a foot washing time. And we washed the feet of everyone. And we led all these children to the Lord. The grandparents forgave one another. We had a football pitch filled with people. It was like, if you knew, there would be angels there. Then at 11 o'clock at night, I went back to my little tree house, laying in this tree, and you heard children singing in their homes all over the village. At 11 o'clock, the children were just, there were just songs. I laid there, songs from all over the place, and just singing. Because God came. And God wants you to be the representative for him. In a situation he would like you to go. If that's your neighbours and older folks here, if you can't physically go, you can pray that God can send. You can say, Lord, send the labourers. The harvest is very few. There's much harvest, not many workers. You even get together in two or three, you older folks. Contact your friends and say, let's meet and speak for an hour. Let's ask Jesus to send out labourers to our neighbours, to our schools, to our hospitals, that people will hear about Jesus. You can do that for the folks who can go. You can do that for us. Somebody did it for you years ago. You now can do it for them. Lord, please send labourers out. And also the older folks, you can pray for the younger folks. Say, Spirit of the living God, speak to the younger folks. Put your spirit on them. And you younger folks, get the courage to be and do what you've never been able to be and do. Don't be ordinary. If you've given your life to Jesus, don't live an ordinary life. Because the Spirit of God is not ordinary. The Spirit of God wants to do extraordinary things. Like Peter, silver and gold I haven't got, but what I have got, rise up and walk, and he did. He then ends up preaching to the leaders. He's got an audience with the leaders of the city before you know it, and the country. God could take you from obscurity and take you right to the top to be a voice for him. While you have breath, you can praise him. In him you live and move and have your being. So a good thing to do tonight for all of us is to ask for the Holy Spirit to fall afresh upon us. We sing that song, don't we? Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us. There's a saying in there, break me. I don't sing break me. Spirit, I just say make me, mold me, fill me, renew me. I have nice words, I say. Because I don't want him breaking me. You need to break yourself. You need to humble yourself. If you don't humble yourself, he'll humble you. You don't want God to humble you. And I want to let you know that. You do not want God to humble you. But you humble yourself. We heard it earlier. You surrender yourself. And then, Spirit of the living God falls. He fell on the day of Pentecost. And then Peter said that was what was prophesied in the book of Joel, years before. He fell then, and the Lord said, receive the Spirit of God. Let the Spirit of God fall upon you. So friends, it's time for all of us to receive His Holy Spirit. What do you say about that? Good idea?
Yep.
Do you think God has favorites? Are you sure? You sure He doesn't like that half and not that half? What about the men? Maybe men only and not women. I've got to tell you something. I went to a country that are not very good with the ladies, and I was a preacher. And I keep forgetting that I'm a lady because I just preach Jesus. But I'm in this church preaching, and this man comes out, takes the microphone off me, speaks to the leader, and the leader gives him permission. And he's got tears coming down, this man, and he says, why? He said, you are a woman. He said, and the Bible says women are not allowed to teach or preach, whatever. Why are you teaching and preaching and I am so blessed when you are a woman? Public setting. Tonight, I've been to Bible school, but we don't get these answers. But this is what came out of my mouth. I said, sir, when you gave your life to Jesus and you received the Holy Spirit, and when I gave my life to Jesus and I received the Holy Spirit, you did not receive a talking Holy Spirit, and I did not receive a silent Holy Spirit. We both received the Holy Spirit who has told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He was so excited. Another one came out. They danced and did Israeli dancing. We all danced. And the Lord was glorified. And the thing is, male or female, you have a voice. And the Holy Spirit talks through you. The Spirit of the Father wants to talk through you. So the Holy Spirit wants to fill you. He wants to quicken you. He wants to make you more like Jesus. Men, He wants to give you boldness to go and do what you've never done. Women, He wants you to rise up and do what you've never done. He wants you to have prayer teams, prayer partners. He wants the fragrance of Christ to go through this area, down the farm lanes. Can you imagine all the cows going, moo, joining in with the praises of God? Can you imagine them walking and leaping and mooing for God? Can you imagine bouncing cows? I'm not a farmer, but can you imagine the animals content and the blessing of God resting on your land, and multiples of sheep and cows and all giving birth, and they're all very happy. Can you just imagine the joy in the land, prosperity and blessing, and the sun shining on you? Your households need to be blessed. Those of you who come from churches, say to your pastor, your leaders, would you pray the family blessing on our household? And you just say it. Here's my household. Would you pray the family blessing? Go up and let them do it so that your household will be blessed and there will be prosperity. And pray. And if there's sickness in your house, get your leaders. Come and say, would you pray sickness out of my house? He said, sure. Get them along. Sickness, get out. Silver and gold, I haven't got. But such as I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And friends, that power is within you. The Spirit of God has not changed. He's not weaker today than he was then. not smaller today than he was then. He is as powerful today as he was in the Bible day. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, he has anointed me to preach, etc. So lay hands on the sick, etc. And now he told the disciples, let my Spirit come upon you, because you must be my witnesses. To you and to your children's children and to the many as are far off. That's all of us down by here. We're far, far away from that day. To as many as are far off. Spirit of the Lord fall afresh. Can we sing that song? Can we sing that song? I see you nodding. Yeah? Do we have the words? Do we have the words? Lovely. I see that man. Is that a television program? I can't remember. Whatever. So what we're going to do is we're going to sing Spirit of the Living God fall afresh upon me. Now some of you have seen people put their hands like this and you may wonder why. This is what I tell my children. I say your heart is here and you're going to give your heart to Jesus. And you open up your heart. Yeah? And you just open up your heart and you say Spirit of the Living God fall afresh upon me. You don't come to him like this, come to him like this. You say, Lord, I will receive. I receive. And the Bible tells us the Spirit of God is sometimes like wind, sometimes like fire, sometimes like oil, sometimes like breath. So just say, Lord, and just breathe in. Spirit of God, I receive. And while you stand there, say, fill me with your power. You may find words in your head or things that you've never thought and you just want to say them. Just say those thoughts. Mariamba, and suddenly your tongue won't stop. And it says you speak with your, you pray with your spirit, and you pray with your understanding. You sing in the spirit, you sing with your understanding. Tongues of angels, tongues of men. And he, the Spirit of God, knows the best thing to do in your life. And it's a prayer language. It says those who speak in tongues edify. I have a friend who speaks in tongues all day. And I said, what are you doing? She said, I'm edifying myself. I went, can't fight that one. All right, you know. She's edified. Even a little baby spoke in tongues before he said mama and dada. He copied her. Oh, it was quite funny. Really. It was real. But she did. She prayed in tongues all the time because she wanted to be edified. And so when new languages come upon you, you pray in the spirit, you pray in your understanding. You pray and you get edified. And also it keeps you in the will of God. It prays the mysteries of God. It prays the truth for your life. The more you pray in new languages, the more you know God's going to direct your life. So don't stop. If you receive, you release, don't stop. Then the strength of God comes, the gifts of God comes, the fruit of God comes, the blessing. You just enjoy God in an exciting way. But whosoever will may come. So this is your prayer. This is your reception. Wow, look at that. Make me melt me. Oh, good. Yeah, you're not getting healed off up there. That's nice. You're not being broken. Right. So, Spirit of the Living God, is God alive? Everybody say he's alive.
Alive.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Fall afresh on me. Can he do that? Does he want to? Does he want to punch you instead of come nicely? You're being naughty, are you? You're being naughty. Yeah, no, he doesn't want to punch you. He wants to fall. Listen, friends, even if you are in sin, even if you are misbehaving, being naughty, you come to him. And you just say, Spirit of the Lord. And I'm telling you, if your heart is contrite, his blood cleanses you. You can even, before singing this, say, Lord, let your blood forgive me. Cleanse me from all sin. Lord, I come back. I renew my life back to you. I remember when you touched me. And this day, I give you permission to rest on me in a fresh way. It's a good thing to do. Make me, melt me, mold me, fill me. In other words, Lord, whatever you would like to do, the end result will be filled. I want to be a vessel unto honor, fit for the Master's use. I want to be filled with your joy, filled with your power, your gift. Do you put your gifts within me. Lord, if you'd like me to pray for the sick that they may recover, release your gift of healing through me. If you want me to prophesy a word of encouragement, put your gift of prophecy in me that I may encourage others. Let the Spirit of God cry out in you that which he would like to do through you. And Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon me. We're going to sing this, we're going to pray this, and if any of you, while we're singing it, and you're praying and you're receiving, any of you want personal prayer, we've got some leaders here, plus myself. You can just stand in the aisle, or you can come to the front, or put your hand up. We'll come and find you. And we will just come in agreement with you. The Bible says when two people agree concerning the will of God, it shall be. You don't need to go home empty today. Those of you who are sick in body, let his Spirit of the living God fall afresh upon you. Let him do what happened to that lame man. Silver and gold we haven't got. But what we have got that's going to keep you going is the name of Jesus. And receive his name to come. Receive all that Jesus is. Risen, ascended, glorified. The creator of the universe. The salvation of the soul. And Lord,
I'm going to have to turn this off, but this is a little bit embarrassing for you, Lindsay. There you go.